We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
Would you turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, as we will be this evening. We introduced this book last time, and I'm looking forward to the study of it. I think we all have, I hope, read through Proverbs at one point or another, and I enjoy when I do that. And it's easy to do. We mentioned last time you could read a proverb a day and get through it in about a month's time, and you could repeat the process and keep doing that. And there would be always something new, some new gem, some new insight, some new personal application. And that's the way that Proverbs is it not? It is very personal, as we'll talk about in a moment. And we mentioned last time that the book of Proverbs is considered wisdom literature. It is just that. It's wisdom. We could say this, all Proverbs are wisdom, but not all wisdom is dispensed through a proverb. We have other books of the Bible that are considered wisdom literature. We mentioned some of those last time, Job being one of those, Ecclesiastes, and not all of those contain proverbs. So wisdom can come in other literary forms, but one of them is a proverb, and we talked about what a proverb is last time. We'll remind ourselves of that in just a moment. But Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings, we might say. And I think we can all recognize a proverb. We kind of did that last time. Remember, I asked you, what are some proverbs? And I think most of us, something came to mind, some proverb that we're familiar with. Maybe there's a particular one that you've used over the years with your children or with a coworker, something that is memorable to you. And I think that's why we like proverbs, right? They are memorable. They are pithy statements. Perhaps they're even amusing to an extent because of the wordplay that is sometimes used or the rhyming method, tempo to them, or perhaps even the mental images that those proverbs conjure up in our minds. And for that reason, many people have used proverbs to convey wise sayings. We mentioned a number of those wise sayings last time, extra-biblical ones. I'll just mention two of them again. Maybe you're familiar with this latter one, don't count your chickens, what, before they hatch. And there's an image that maybe pops into our mind, but it's not really the image that is teaching us. It's what the image and the words convey, the principle behind it, that really is what the proverb is getting at. It's not so much about chickens and hatching as it is about not getting yourself ahead in some circumstance and expecting an outcome that maybe isn't going to be there. Another one is this, an interesting mental image. One proverb goes like this, you'll never plow a field by turning it over in your mind. Interesting proverb that we find throughout history. And so the question then that we didn't get to last time, and I want to think about for a moment before we look into the text this evening, is this, what is the value of the book of Proverbs? Well, it's the Word of God, so obviously it's valuable in that sense. When we receive it as inspired words from God, that is authoritative for our lives. But what is the value of the book? What does it bring? What does it provide for us in terms of the content? I think as we think about that question, we should recognize that the problem in our society today is not a lack of information. Is it? But it's a lack of wisdom. It's not a problem. The issue that we face in society today is not a lack of information. Perhaps we could argue we have more information today, or accessible to more information than we ever have in historical time, because of the internet. Probably the biggest reason for that. You have knowledge and facts and content readily accessible to you at any moment. The irony is, you might think that in the age of technology, where information is disseminated, you know, instantaneously, almost, you know, something happens on the other side of the globe, and within an hour's time, you already have some information about it. In times past, that would not have been the case, would it? You know, it might have taken weeks or days or months, or maybe you would never actually know some of the things that have occurred around the world. I was talking with my mom about this, and Kaylee, you know, how I don't think our minds were meant to carry some of these burdens that we carry because of the news that we intake. God didn't intend it to be that way. You know, there's enough burdens that we carry in our own immediate sphere for us to handle. And while we might find those other stories interesting, they can cause us to be very heavy laden and depressed even by the things that occur, the evil that exists. And so, though we live in an age of technology where information is disseminated, you know, at an unprecedented speed, you would think that wisdom would follow. But is that the case? I would beg to differ. I would say that wisdom doesn't follow. Where information is readily accessible, it does not mean that wisdom is there. In fact, most of us have that information accessible and available, perhaps in your own pocket. I have it in the pew there, my phone. In any moment, you can pull it out and you can look up some topic, some subject matter, and you can read about it, some story, some breaking news. You know, right now I could pull out my phone and I could search any topic I want, and probably within a few hours I could at least be at an amateur level of knowledge in that topic by just reading the articles, or in this day and age, you know, what pops up, AI, you know, at the beginning, and you can have a kind of a synopsis of all of the articles quickly. And you can have some kind of amateur level of knowledge of a topic in perhaps just a few hours. In fact, was it Sunday morning that Pastor Matt was talking about the idea of devoting 100 hours or 1,000 hours, and you can become in the top 5% of those who have an expertise in a particular area. And that's amazing. You know, because of the internet, because of the age of technology, we can have all of that knowledge right at our fingertips. But it doesn't mean that wisdom follows. You know, we have Google as a way of receiving information, YouTube. You know, how many of you guys out there have YouTubed some project? How do I do X or Y or Z so that I don't have to call the plumber? I don't have to embarrass myself in front of my wife and say, I don't know how to do this. We've all done that, right? We've all looked it up, searched some topic, watched some video. There's, you know, numerous content creators today. Everyone's a content creator, dispensing knowledge, dispensing information, facts about things. You know, you can look on Wikipedia, maybe not the most reliable source, but you can look up historical events and people. You can read journals, you can read ebooks. There are many, many mechanisms to obtain knowledge in today's world. And so you might think that, again, with that, wisdom would abound. But it does not, I argue. And just because we're living in a day of information overload, there is still a great dearth, a great lack of wisdom in both the young and the aged. And while information may lead to knowledge, I think we can agree on that and accept that fact. You know, I study hard enough about something, and I have the information at hand, I will have some knowledge about that thing after a while. Maybe you like to bake, and you read up on the latest, you know, ways to bake bread better, or to cook something easier, or be more efficient, or to perfection, and you can obtain knowledge about that thing. But knowledge is not equal to wisdom, as we're saying. The fact is, you know, you can get straight A's and be a fool. You can get, you know, C's and be a fool as well. But just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you are wise. You know, you can be an expert in your field of knowledge, you know, some work, your career. Maybe you have excelled in your business or in your company, in your field of expertise, and you can get up to the top of the ladder, so to speak. But look at many today who seem to be the wisest, who seem to be the most knowledgeable, the most savvy, the most powerful figures with riches that abound that you would think would only come from wisdom, yet they express themselves as fools, at least in terms of the things of God and looking at life in that from that perspective. I was thinking about a title that our president gave someone in kind of recent here about the idea of him being a super genius. Maybe you know who I'm thinking about. And he called him a super genius. And there are many super geniuses in our world today that are complete fools. Because intellect, information, knowledge is not equal to wisdom. And the book of Proverbs does not reduce wisdom to intelligence, in fact. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we study through this book. And I'm excited to do that, and I hope you are as well, as we recognize what Proverbs has to offer us in an age of information, but a lack of wisdom. Because as one commentator notes, in contrast to content, wisdom is the skill of fitting things into the framework of the whole, the true details of which are infinite. In other words, wisdom recognizes the necessity to see how the parts come together in the whole. And in today's age, you can have a lot of people who are super intellectual in one particular area, but cannot put everything together, put the parts together. And I'm not talking about just in that area of expertise, but in life in general. To be able to put all the parts together and say, this is what life looks like in God's created and good world. And so the issue in our age of technology and information is that we often equate exhaustive knowledge in one particular area with wisdom. But wisdom cannot be measured in terms of content only. Wisdom is based on the recognition that exhaustive knowledge is actually inadequate to make one wise. And so, I want to ask ourselves just two questions this evening and then have 2 points. Number one, what is the book of Proverbs? We already looked at this last time a little bit, but let me just refresh our memories for a moment. Proverbs, as we said a moment ago or at the beginning, is a collection of what we might call wise sayings. Wise sayings, mostly given to us in the form of Proverbs. Although we might argue there's some narrative also in the book of Proverbs, especially in the first 8 or 9 chapters. There are Proverbs, but it sounds more narratival in the way that it's written. There's this kind of a story to it. It's a dialogue, we might say, between a father and a son. But then the majority of the body of Proverbs is just that. It's a collection of wise sayings on various topics. And so as we get into our study in this series, we'll look kind of more section by section in Proverbs 1 to 9. But then when we get to Proverbs 10, we'll begin to look at more topics. And in that point, we'll do more of a topical series through the book before we get to the end, where it turns back to somewhat more of a narrative or a dialogue that we can look at a chapter level and so forth. In sum, Proverbs teaches us, or teaches individuals, how to live skillfully in a world created by God. That is what wisdom is. It is learning and the ability to live skillfully in the world that God has created. It teaches us then in this way how to live in reality. In the world that we live in, with all of its issues, with all of its evil, with all of the good, with all of the created order that we see, both in the terms of the physical world and also in the terms of God's moral order to things, it teaches us how to live in that world. There is no other world we can live in, is there? But reality, how things are. in a fallen world. It teaches us how to live in reality. And that way, it's very practical, is it not? And maybe you feel that as you read through Proverbs, you think, yeah, this is just how the world is and how it operates, generally speaking, with the observations we can make, and obviously from God's divine perspective. As one pastor put it, Proverbs is about sowing and reaping applied. Sowing and reaping applied. I think you already can know that and can think about it in that way, that as the Proverbs, as we read through the Proverbs, what is the common structure of any one individual proverb? It gives some right way to go, as well as a contrast of the wrong way to go. And with that often comes the blessing of going the moral direction, the upright direction, or in contrast, the disaster of going the wrong way. It's sowing and reaping applied. And so in this sense, Proverbs is immensely personal and immensely practical. Immensely personal and immensely practical. It focuses on the individual. As you read the book of Proverbs, you find that it's speaking to me as an individual. Or, you know, if we look at it in its historical context, you can understand how King Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, as verse 1 says, is writing perhaps to his son, saying, listen, if you're going to get through life in a way that is pleasing to God, think about these things. Listen. Listen up, son. You need to know some things about life. It's immensely personal. It speaks to the individual. Unlike some of or most of the books of the Old Testament, which speak to maybe more a nation level, to a people group, mostly to the nation of Israel, but to others as well. And yes, there's personal application, but nowhere else do we find such, you know, personal, poignant wisdom and knowledge but in the book of Proverbs. We could say that Proverbs is meant to move an inexperienced, naive young person toward the virtues of righteousness, the virtue of justice, the virtue of integrity or fairness or equity, as Proverbs 1 tells us. And so whether the next king of Israel or an ordinary individual is in mind, Proverbs speaks to them, to you, to me. And then Proverbs is deeply practical, is it not? It offers sound instruction meant to help us navigate life successfully, develop personal qualities necessary for that success, and warn of the disaster and misery that comes with ignoring sound judgment. We see this even initially in the father's wise words to his son. In this way, Proverbs teaches us that there are moral consequences to decisions in the realm of God's moral ordering of things. And even if people deny that moral ordering, the fact is it still stands, does it not? Just like, for illustration, you know, no one denies the effects of God's created order of things in the physical world, right? Just because they maybe deny that gravity exists doesn't mean that they don't experience it, its effects. In the same way, someone can deny God's moral ordering of things, but that does not make them exempt from the effects of that order. And so, in that way, Proverbs applies both to the believer, but also to the unbeliever. The consequences they experience will be the same, whether they receive this wisdom or not. They will experience the effects of their moral decisions. That leads us to the second question this evening is, what are Proverbs? Well, Proverbs, as we defined last time, are concise, memorable sayings, usually poetic in form, expressing a generally accepted observation about life, and here's the key, as filtered through biblical revelation or we might say from God's divine perspective of things. Proverbs in the Bible teaches wisdom, and wisdom is skill for living. And so tonight, I want us to quickly consider just two main thoughts from Proverbs 1, 1 to 7, which serves as kind of the prologue to the book. Perhaps, I hope all of you have read some book in your lifetime, besides, of course, the Bible. And how many of you have ever read the introduction or the prologue to a book? Now, how many of you have just kind of skipped to chapter 1? No? Never? Okay, I'm guilty of that myself. But what does an introduction do often? Well, if it's a good introduction, it sets up the theme or the thesis of the book. Here's what the book's about. The author is trying to argue, this is why you should read the rest of this book. Sometimes you choose to read that introduction, and it helps you. It says, okay, aha, this is what I'm now going to read about. And this is what the author is trying to convince me of. If you don't read the introduction and you just kind of skip to chapter 1, maybe it's not until chapter 10 until you can fit all the parts together and you say, aha, this is what the author was trying to say. This is what he's trying to argue. But Proverbs, or Solomon here, doesn't leave us in the dark. In fact, in his prologue, he tells us, this is why I'm giving you these Proverbs. This is what the Proverbs accomplish. And so let's look at the text this evening. With this first thought this evening, number one, Proverbs teaches wisdom. And as we said, wisdom is skill for living. Look with me at verses 2 through 6, I think, where we find this first point fleshed out. It says there in verse 2, to know wisdom. Let me begin back in verse 1 because we didn't actually read it yet. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's the purpose of the Proverbs that we will read. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so Proverbs teaches wisdom, and wisdom is skill for living in God's good and ordered world. Look with me at verse 2, where Solomon, I think, gives two purposes for Proverbs. Number one, in verse 2 at the beginning, to know wisdom and instruction. Or some translations say to know wisdom and discipline. The first purpose here has to do, I think, with what we might call moral astuteness or moral skillfulness. That is the purpose of these Proverbs. It's to help us to reach or attain to moral skillfulness. How do I live in the world that I live in? We need moral skillfulness. And we get this through the wisdom offered to us in the Proverbs. And I think this idea is repeated again at the beginning of verse 6. And so kind of sandwiched in the middle is the content of this. Now, verse 2 and verse 6 teach us what is the purpose of Proverbs. It's to know wisdom and instruction, or verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma. And in between, the author offers us numerous words that I think together we could say are kind of synonymous for the idea of wisdom. It teaches us what wisdom really is, what it looks like, what it is, what does it look like applied, what is the effects of it. Proverbs is meant to help you and I attain the skill and discipline necessary to live with moral uprightness in God's world. It encompasses knowledge, yes, we're not denying knowledge, but also experience as well. And it also helps us attain discipline or instruction at the end of verse, or beginning of verse 2 there. Proverbs is to correct then, in that sense, our moral waywardness that is often experienced by the young and naive. moral waywardness toward folly and direct us toward living wisely in reverence to the Lord. In this sense, then, Proverbs is meant to discipline, to know discipline, to know wisdom, to instruct. It's meant to train and to shape our morality to how God views things in this world. But then he gives a second reason for Proverbs. And this is found in the end of verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding. I think this is the second major purpose of the book of Proverbs. We could describe it as mental discernment. So it's meant to equip us with moral skillfulness, but it's also meant to create in us a mental discernment. Proverbs is meant to cause us to pause and make moral judgments about situations. If I go down, path A, what will the consequence be? Or if I choose path B instead, what is the consequence of that? It is teaching us to have discernment about life, about situations, about moral judgments. In that sense, then, it requires us to have patience and discernment at moments of moral uncertainty and choose wisdom over folly. Proverbs is intentional and deliberate. It's meant to equip the young and naive, as we said, and increase the knowledge and wisdom of the wise. And I think we see this fleshed out in verses 3 and 4. Look at verse 3. He says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And notice, I think what the author is doing here is he's kind of helping us to look at Proverbs from two different perspectives. In verse 3, it's from the perspective of the young person. When they come to the book of the Proverbs, they say, what is this for? Well, it's for you. It's to teach you. From the perspective of the young person, Proverbs offers all that we need for wisdom. It helps us to live skillfully in God's created world. So, young person, thinking about you guys out there, Josiah, Enoch, Daniel, John. You want to learn how to discipline? You want to learn discipline? You want to learn how to live skillfully? You want to learn how to live the good life, as it were, in terms of God's way of righteousness and justice and fairness? Read the book of Proverbs. It's for you. You are the intended audience. Proverbs, as they are written, are meant for the young and naive to cause them to pause and think about what are the consequences of my actions. It's not just to help you make moral judgments about the actions of others, you observe. Perhaps you look at Proverbs that way, you read it and say, aha, yeah, that person, he's a fool. Or that person, he's wise. But Proverbs is intended to be introspective, as I just mentioned. Proverbs is meant to be read and to say, how do I compare? Am I more like the fool? Or am I more like the wise man? How does my life line up to Proverbs? And so, young person, use it in that way. Don't look at it and look at everyone else and say, yeah, I'm more wise than them, or they're such a fool. But ask yourself this question, who am I more like? Am I more like the fool or the wise man? And the way that Proverbs is written, in the sense that it is poetic, that it is full of proverbial sayings and riddles, it requires us to have patience as we think about what it says, and it requires us to have discernment at moments of moral uncertainty. It's meant to train and shape our morality toward the things of God. So how does prudent living manifest itself? How does wise, skillful living manifest itself? Well, I think it's demonstrated by these three things that the author mentions at the end of verse 3. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That is to say, wisdom leads to a prudent life. And a prudent life manifests or exhibits itself in justice, in judgment, in equity. Or we might say in what is right and just and fair. But then look at verse 4. We said in verse 3 that Proverbs, from the perspective of a young person, is meant to help us receive wisdom. It teaches. It's a tutor. But in verse 4, the author helps us understand that Proverbs is not just for the young person and the naive. Who is it for? It's for the instructor himself. He writes there, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And so the author is helping us to see that, listen, I don't just close the book because, well, now I'm, 21. Or now I'm wise, and so, forget that. Let's move on to the next book. No, Proverbs is there as a tool. It's an instrument. It's a primer in wisdom that every good and wise instructor will use to teach others. And every one of you is an instructor. Whether it's an instructor of a less mature believer, an instructor of your own children, your sons, your daughters, you can use Proverbs to give or impart prudence to the simple. Simple here, is not referring to those, who kind of live simply, those kind of homesteader kind of people, or those who just, are kind of minimalists. That's not what he means by simple, nor does he mean, what we might call, just say dumb or stupid. Rather, he's referring to those who are ignorant or naive. As we, I think Pastor mentioned the other week, there are certain things which we are to be naive in terms of evil. But in understanding and wisdom, we need to have, we need to have that knowledge. We need to not be simple, but we need to be shrewd. And shrewd is not necessarily a bad word. There we can have, we can show a level of shrewdness in our life when we listen to the wisdom that Proverbs has to offer and apply it to our daily living. And the help and the benefit of that is it helps us to avoid the snare set by others who want to see us trip up and fall into folly. And so shrewdness, in this sense, equipping us so that we're no longer simple but full of knowledge and wisdom, allows us then to avoid those pitfalls set by others or perhaps set by us because of our own ignorance and folly that's bound up in our hearts. Well, we need to come to a conclusion here this evening. And so let me just end by simply saying this. Look with me at verse 6. The author says there, to understand a proverb. Remember what he has already said in verse 2. This is kind of coming back to this main idea of what is the purpose of Proverbs. Well, it's to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And maybe you look at this this language and you say something that's an enigma or riddles. Maybe perhaps you think of things that are incomprehensible because they're difficult to understand. But the idea here is not that they're incomprehensible, but that they do require for us to slow down and say, what is actually this author saying? What is this proverb actually teaching? That's what a riddle does, right? A riddle is not meant to conceal knowledge forever. What is a riddle? It's meant to require you to pause and slow down and think thoroughly about it. And in our fast-paced world today, we don't like to do that. We like to just get the knowledge and move on. But what Proverbs does is it says, no, you need to slow down. You need to think for a moment. You need to savor this. You need to think deeply about this. I heard this illustration from a pastor. It's like maybe a piece of candy, a mint, or a gobstopper, something that you don't just, you're not meant to just kind of chew and crunch up like you would, a fruit snack or something like that. Well, what's the purpose of a mint? You put it in and you savor it. And you roll it around in your mouth. And you taste it. And it lasts. That's what Proverbs is meant to do. It has that level of difficulty and maybe vagueness, or the fact that it's a pithy statement, it's short. It's maybe has an element of a riddle that's meant to cause us to stop and say, what is this proverb teaching me? And when you slow down, it becomes memorable because you've thought about it. And now you have it in there. That is the purpose of Proverbs and why these wise men laid them out in such a way. It's to cause us to slow down and say, what is the meaning? Next time we will consider not only what we just did this evening, that Proverbs teaches wisdom, but then in verse 7 next time we'll see that wisdom begins with God. And that is the programmatic theme here that we see in verse 7. Wisdom begins with God. Let's close in a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, as we think about this book, divinely inspired, every word, oh Lord, the worldly wisdom compares nothing to this. And Lord, I pray for every young person here, every old and aged. Lord, may we remember and not be so proud to say, yes, I've mastered this. I have the knowledge. I have the content. I have the intellect. But do we have wisdom? The wisdom that is necessary to navigate this world that you have created, you have set in place in a way that reveres you and honors you and is ultimately for our own good, our own benefit, rather than the disaster, the pain that comes from ignoring this wisdom. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.